Coming up on the program, we're trying cold call Kevin Powell's Bumble date, who refuses to call him back because she thinks we're talking about him on the air, her on the air. We're talking about him on the air every day.
And we have been talking about her.
But we haven't identified anything about her.
Yeah, we haven't said the name.
That's true.
Or any
really
other reality.
Identifying characteristics.
But she doesn't even have
She's
to be.
She's very pretty.
Other than she swiped right on you or left or whatever it is. So we'll get to it.
Right.
We'll get to it. Hey, stand down, everybody. All right. Now, in the studio with us is our producer, Brian Altimer, who's been with this show in every iteration for more than a decade. And is a guy who's a former United States Marine, and one of the great sonic geniuses in Chicago radio ever.
No question.
Who builds all those songs and all those things that you hear on the station, and also on weekends he does some security work as well as everybody kind of gigs in our business, and you were leaving your job late. On Saturday night, Friday night into Saturday morning, up on the north side, and you're doing security for a restaurant and bar, and the as you were heading back down Lakeshore Drive to go back home where you live on the south side off the Dan Ryan, tell us what happened.
Yeah, so I'm going southbound on Lakeshore Drive, and I get to like Jackson and Lakeshore Drive, and the first thing I noticed, it was a SUV, tan color SUV behind me. And it was like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. So it's pretty light out, you know. And there was a couple people jogging on Lakeshore Drive. So you don't think of stuff like this happening. So as we're driving, this SUV comes from behind me and starts to pace me. On the side of me, and I look over and I see the passenger in the SUV. He pulls out a gun and starts waving it at me,
and across the driver's
across the driver, and he's waving it, and I instantly just hit the brakes, and there was some kind of construction going on that morning that I later found out it was like barking apart. They were prepping for that. So the lane that he was in, they started to merge it over to the left. So when I hit the brakes, he was those guys were kind of forced to merge in front of me. And then I was able to.
Directly in front of you or with the car too in front of you?
No, directly in front of me. And at that point, I was able to make a right on the Roosevelt, because Roosevelt is that last street you can kind of make a right on.
Right, and get away. Right. And they were passed heading south.
Right, they passed heading south going toward I-55. At that point, I called the police and gave them the description of the vehicle. I was like, hey, it's a tan-colored Tahoe or Yukon. With
GM sort of brand SUV.
Yeah. And these guys waved a gun at me, you know, and they were like, where were they headed? I said, hey, they're going southbound Lakeshore Drive, maybe I-55, I don't know. They asked my name. I gave them my name, and they was like, we'll get right on it. At that point, I went home, and I went to sleep, but I was really angry about it because stuff like that, you know, it shouldn't happen, and it was just really weird that it happened. So went to sleep, and I woke up around maybe 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I went to Facebook, and I purchased a tactical vest.
Did you have one in when you were in the Gulf War?
They issue you one, and then they once you're out, they take it back. Mm-hmm. But
so this rattled you enough that you felt, what am I going to do? How am I going to protect myself?
Well,
are you going to wear it?
Well, the tech vest that I bought, I bought that due to the rise of crime on the north side, because
where you work on the north side, and you work at, you're director of security for a bar and a nightclub, and you're out on the street at times,
yeah,
working the door, right?
Right, working the door, and so the street element, you know, they tend to try to bring the chaos inside, you know, the bar, and you know, as security, we have to stop that. And you know, I've been threatened many times, you know, and it's been more so within the past 2 months. So it made me say, hey, I need to get me a tech vest, you know. So when I got off, I put that vest in the trunk of my car. And so when that incident happened, as I was driving home, I'm like, that vest was in the trunk. I'm like, had I had it on, if they would have, you know, fired the weapon, you know, and I didn't have that on, you know, I probably wouldn't be here right now. So I instantly took the vest out of the trunk of my car and put it on the trunk, and I took a photo. And I was like, you know what?
You put this on Facebook.
Yeah, I put it on Facebook. And
now I just want to, you know, we've been together a long time. We've talked about, you've been instrumental in part of the conversations that we've had with Chicago about this issue of violence, which has plagued the city my whole life, your whole life, Anna's whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to be at a critical notion, a critical moment right now, because especially in the aftermath of Laquan McDonald. Police now feel that they are going to be targeted by their superiors or by others or the federal government for doing their job too, right? I mean, this doesn't exonerate Jason Van Dyke, the police officer, you know, of what he did in that case, but cops, I think, now feel as though when they get out of their car, if they're going to have a violent confrontation, who's going to have their back? And if they don't have a violent confrontation, then who's going to stop the people who are up to no good, who are armed and dangerous in the city? And you know, it's interesting because you said to me over the weekend that you thought that part of this is people just like what happened to you. These are guys just for fun doing this, it almost seems
like,
right?
Yeah, just total, just random, because I don't, I mean, as far as how I live my life, I don't live in my life recklessly. I don't do anything. I never gangbang. I don't live a thug lifestyle. I don't do that.
You do nothing to ever welcome anything or bring on something like this to happen to you. So you start wondering, What is this about? And I'm sure your heart sank when you saw that gun, because we all know if you ever had the situation, we're in the situation where you saw something like that, you wonder what could have happened.
If this is totally random, what if it was somebody in their car with their kids?
I know.
You know,
right?
Or
you were in car with your kids.
Well, my
You've
kids,
got two
you
sons.
Know. Yeah.
We've had 20 expressway shootings this year alone, 6 on Lakeshore Drive. Several of them have been fatal. There was a truck driver who randomly was in a situation like that and got shot in the face at 95th Street in the Dan Ryan this month. I mean, it feels as if the gangbangers are taking their fights and their battles onto the expressway.
Yeah, and I got to the point now where at a certain time, once the sun goes down and I have to drive, and I rarely drive my car, but if I have to drive in this city after, let's say, 8 p.m. or early morning, that vest will be on. I will have that vest on. It's a little uncomfortable to drive with it on, but
do you feel that strongly about it now?
I feel very strongly to wear it while I'm driving now.
Well, it's just, to be, and it was funny because over the weekend I was talking to some friends who don't live in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, for the first time in my life, I've lived in the city my entire life. I've never lived outside the borders of Chicago. And I'm starting to feel nervous in my own city.
Well, that's the thing, is we already knew we had more gang members than New York and L.A. combined. We had more guns, if you look at the number the police are taking off the streets, than New York and L.A. combined. And now it feels as if the boundaries for the violence are growing. There was a shooting outside my mom's house. A young man was shot and killed in Rogers Park, right outside her house at 10 o'clock at night. It starts to become so personal to so many of us now. It isn't just about headlines. It's becomes personal. When something like that happens to you, Brian, or two people were held up at my high school on Friday outside Lane Tech High School in the parking lot.
Yeah.
DNA Info broke that story on Friday. I was thinking, gosh, that's where I went to school. It's where my mother lives. It's where we all drive. It starts to become so personal.
Yeah, and people were quick to say you're overreacting, and I have to point out
you're not a guy to overreact. From what I know about you,
that and I grew up in Inglewood. I still stay in Inglewood. So and you know I walk pretty freely in that area, but you know when it gets to the point where you can just be on your way to work or just going anywhere in your car, because your car is in, it's like your safe place, you know, when you're in the car, and when stuff like that happens, you have, I have to protect myself.
I
think other people will I think they feel the same way, and if they can afford a tactical vest, or they may get one too. I mean, but
well, that's I mean, what an indictment that is, right? That how sad is that, that people in this city. And again, I mean, you're a guy who works two jobs. You have a management job and a white collar job here at WGN.
Mm-hmm.
You have a couple of kids. You're responsible for, you know, for your bills and for your car and for your life and all of that, like everybody is. And you don't do anything other than go to and from work. And you're exactly the kind of person that we talk about all the time who lived in these neighborhoods. These neighborhoods, everybody goes, oh, well, those people are just killing each other and don't worry about it. Or the gangbangers just killing each other and don't worry about it. But, you know, you cannot tell that to the family of the 49-year-old woman, city worker, Yvonne Nelson, who was gunned down at a Starbucks at 35th and State, a block away from Chicago Police Headquarters on Friday, because she was the unintended target in a drive-by shooting.
Right. So sad.
You know, I mean, this is just what's going on, and it's got to, there are no easy solutions here. If there were, we would have come up with them. There's one that an alderman is talking about putting, you know, getting people to put cameras outside their homes, and the city paying for cameras, you know, private security cameras to go up outside people's independent, you know, private homes, and that would all then be circuited into the network of police cameras, so that the 911 center would be able to look at, you know, any given block at any given time and see what's actually going on. That's one thing. Seems to be working in D.C. But the other piece of this is to let the police officers, men and women of the Chicago Police Department, who are on the streets every day and every night, you know, three shifts a day, that when they are on duty, when they are doing their job, and they are on their watches, that we support them and give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, there's some bad cops. There's no question about it. But that's not the issue. This is that is such a small piece of what goes on. There was interesting. You know, you brought to our attention there was a gangbanger. This is in the Sun-Times today. It's a gangbanger who went while being sentenced to 40 years in federal prison for his involvement in a bunch of stuff that rose through the federal system. He said that in his statement to the judge, he said, you know, he said, even with these latest Chicago police shootings on minorities in Chicago, I don't blame cops one bit for their decisions in the field. And the community has to first come to grips with why these cops are so afraid. I know, because it's really a war zone out there. Chirac is what they call it now. And just as these officers have actually served time on the battlefield in Iraq, their main focus is to make it home. And that's all these officers want to do on the mean streets of Chirac. And
it's very telling.
And this is a guy getting sentenced to 40, a gangbanger getting sentenced to 40 years in prison, saying, hey, I get it. These guys are, you know, I get what's going on out there.
And Brian, we have a couple of texters asking, there was no incident at the bar that would have precipitated to make somebody want to follow you or anything like that.
No, and that's what like really enraged me, because I'm like, that night nothing happened. And when I leave from that area, I'm pretty vigilant about if somebody's actually following me, anything like that. And it was just totally random. You know, and I mean, even if something did happen at the bar, you know, it's one of those things that I'm like, you know, you're going to solve it with a pistol now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we can and do it like on the highway. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, it is crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, Brian, thank you for your story. And obviously you were on Facebook with this, Brian Altimer, Altimer. And Channel 9 was just here talking to you. So, you know, I mean, because I think, you know, when it comes to what happened to you, thank God nothing awful and violent happened to you. But I think what your story is just another canary in the coal mine of what is occurring in Chicago, that people need to know that the threat of violence, we can't just react to the threat of violence. We have to do something about stemming the violence in the first place. And, you know, your solution is to go to Facebook and say, listen, I'm going to get a tactical vest, a bulletproof vest, and I'm going to wear that when I'm driving around the city of Chicago. And that's a very, 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 very bad indictment of the state of affairs here in this amazing world-class city.
It is.
And it needs to be addressed. So thank you, and I'm glad you're all right, brother.
All right, thanks.
All right.